Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa. Everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am so proud to welcome Robin Baldwin. Robin has been a Fitfluential ambassador for years and years, but she actually surprised me because there were some things we ended up talking about that I wasn't even aware of, one of them being that Robin had been diagnosed with MS in recent years. And so that is obviously something that has impacted her fitness journey, her health journey, and her life in so many ways. But she has just really taken something that could be a blow, and probably would be for most individuals, and used that to turn her entire life and her life's purpose around. And I really cannot be impressed more with this woman. She is a force to be reckoned with. She is a force to be admired. She's incredibly talented, a beautiful soul, and you're going to learn quite a lot from her in this interview. And I certainly think you'll come away from this going, I need to check this woman out. I need to learn from her, follow her, become obsessed with her, yada, yada, yada. A little bit just to also give you a clip from her official bio before we get started. Robin Baldwin is an alpha female who helps women find work-life harmony. And by the way, that is something that comes up in this show, and I feel like I've been using it ever since my interview with her. So instead of think of how many people will say work-life balance, instead she talks about working with her clients to achieve work-life harmony. And it's such a different way of looking at things, and I love it. She explains that in deeper detail on the show. But you will, I think, come away from this thinking, I don't need work-life balance. I need work-life harmony. Robin is a full-time e-commerce merchandising manager, a fitness lifestyle blogger at robinbaldwin.com. That is spelled with a Y. We'll link up to that in the show notes, of course. A Kobo best-selling author, host of the Alpha Female podcast, which we strongly recommend, and a passionate essential oil educator. I'm going to have her back on the show to talk about essential oils as well. The more I've started using them for things I had no idea you could use them for, the more that my life has been changed because of it. Robin loves weightlifting, running, obstacle course races, yoga, and making seasonal bucket lists. I love that. After being diagnosed with MS in 2014 and starting out on a new health journey, she has transitioned from being an MS warrior battling an autoimmune disease to an MS thriver and living well with the health sidekick. I love it. You are going to love this interview. Again, I'm so impressed with this lady. So honored to have had her on the show. Can't wait to have her back. For now, just sit back, get yourself a cappuccino, some bottled water, whatever works for you, and enjoy this chat with Robin Baldwin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome Robin Baldwin, and I'm very excited for you guys to hear this chat with Robin. I'm not going to give away what we're talking about, but Robin, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. You have been with Fitfluential for so long, and you are an amazing woman, and I can't wait for people to get to know you and hear about your story. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are going to dive right in. And, you know, I want to always ask when guests are on the show for the first time about their own personal fitness story, because it's interesting. We have such a diverse group of guests, both from, you know, real life transformation stories to folks that have had kind of significant medical issues to practitioners, and everybody has started their own journey at a different time for a different reason. And I always love to hear about that. And for you, Robin, when was it that you first became interested in like leading a fit lifestyle, in fitness, in wellness, and becoming healthier? When was that for you and why?
So my fitness journey, as I like to call it, as most of us, nickname it, started in 2009. So I had been dating a guy, and I remember this moment distinctly. We got into bathing suits. We went down to like his condo pool, and I was standing in the elevator, and he's like, "Did you know you were getting a little chunky?" I was like, "What?"
What?
So I had already been like quite petite. I was a ballerina when I was younger. I was a CFL cheerleader, which is the equivalent of your NFL in the United States, up in Canada, and I had gotten skinny fat. So that's kind of the terminology that was made popular around that time. And I had started seeing like quite a lot of cellulite on the back of my legs, and that's what he had commented on. And I was just horrified. So I like started Googling like boot camps in Toronto. I used to live there, and found the first one I could. And I actually found an amazing, she was a fitness model, and she did beautiful boot camps for women called the Hourglass Workout. And basically everybody in the workshop was getting ready and training for fitness competitions. So I basically like launched right into a fitness journey of becoming a fitness model and competitor right off the bat. So I totally got into fitness for vain reasons. I wanted to look good naked. And
ain't no shame in that.
Right. And I always am like fully honest about it, because it's usually like one of our like main pain points is we're not happy with what we see in the mirror, and it just springboards into a health journey. So I trained for fitness competitions. I did that for about 5 years. And probably like 2 years into my fitness journey is when I actually joined Fitfluential, because another one of my goals was like I wanted to look good naked. But then as I got into the fitness competitor world, I was like, I want to get on the cover of Oxygen. I need a personal brand. So I was training for competitions. I started blogging around the same time. I became a brand ambassador for several different companies. And that kind of was the fitness journey. But another thing that I also credit to this amazing boot camp was the fitness model was very, very holistic and started teaching us about nutrition and supplementation in a really healthy way. Like work with a naturopath, get your blood tested, see where you are deficient, make sure your meal plan is well planned out. And then if you're deficient in other areas, work with that naturopath to develop like a supplement plan in terms of vitamins and minerals. So I had kind of been introduced to a little bit more of a hippie holistic world while fitness training. And that kind of launched my health journey. So I like saying that I went from a fitness journey to a health journey. I also hung up my sparkly bikinis in stripper heels for mud and monkey bars. So I started training for obstacle course races, and then I started also figuring out how to take better care of myself that I wasn't actually really doing when I was a fitness competitor. So I went from fitness world to racing world, and my fitness journey has now become a health journey completely. So although I still have a lovely fitness routine, I was actually diagnosed with MS in 2014 and had to learn that even though I was quote unquote healthy, I still wasn't actually supporting my body properly. And so I'm now in a health journey where I'm taking care of myself in a much different way than I was before, and learning what my body actually needs from supplementation to food to exercise and more. So that's the long story short.
I'm taking so many notes right now. I love so much of what you said, and I want to dive into, of course. I mean, what a life-changing moment that had to be for you, an overwhelming moment when you had a multiple sclerosis diagnosis, you know, and sometimes I think people mistakenly think that folks that are fit and healthy, you know, they're impervious to anything happening, and they're always surprised. Oh my God, how did this runner guy have a heart attack? How did this person who, you know, has this level of body fat, you know, how did they end up with cancer? Like these things, it's how you look or your level of fitness is not necessarily a predictor that, you know, nothing can touch you by any means. And I love as well how you mentioned, you know, you started off, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Most people are going to start off, I think, their fitness journey for vain reasons. And who there's not, there's, we got to take away the shame in that. Like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look great naked. That's a big part of my goal now, but I as well started off strictly, how can I get, let me be real. In the early days, it was, how can I get skinny? That's all I wanted. And I would employ any extreme diet to get there. Now I've learned what the consequences are of some of my poor choices from a medicinal standpoint, lots of antibiotics, birth control pills, food choices, supplement choices, not paying attention to things, not thinking about the long term, having a very myopic approach. So yeah, learning all of that and dealing with some of the consequences has transformed my mind into saying, I'm focusing on health. I'm focusing on my life, on feeling better. And yes, I still do want to look good naked, but a big part of this is it's wellness. It's much more of a health journey. So I love what you talk about. I also think before we dive in, because I would love for you, there's a lot of people listening, like myself, who we've heard multiple sclerosis. We don't really know what that is, what causes it, how you deal with it, and how you could potentially prevent it. So I want to dive into that. But one sidebar before we go there, you mentioned you started with this hourglass workout and, you know, the preparing for fitness competition, and that the folks within that organization, or maybe the creator of that, had a really kind of solid approach suggesting, you know, looking at a naturopath and having a more holistic approach. To me, that was rare back in those days. Like, it seems that's a lot more widespread now. It's been a wonderful thing to observe how across the board, whether it's in CrossFit or in the running community or in the figure competitor community, really across the board, more and more people are focusing on the quality of the food, their supplements, reading labels, tuning into grass-fed and pasture-raised and all of that. But it didn't seem to be that anyone cared about that. And I was one of them, you know, as early as 3-4 years ago. So that's pretty remarkable. Did you feel that that was rare when you were encountering that kind of approach back then?
Now that I've spent time in the quote unquote fitness industry, so after competing for several years, I became a sponsored athlete with a nutraceutical company, and was exposed to, I guess, more and more people within the competitor world. And that's when I started realizing that my eyes had been open to more holistic health. And then I realized that it was very rare because, you know, we would be presented with different products that we would need to start promoting. And I would take a look and I'd be like, you know what, that's going to mess with my hormones. I'm not okay with that. I'm not comfortable supporting that product. I don't think I can be a sponsored athlete anymore. But that was because I had had that exposure from that very first trainer. Like, I feel very blessed that my eyes had been opened to a more, and I say holistic, and I don't mean like hippie, or although I am very like natural hippie based, it's more so like looking at your overall health. And, you know, I didn't realize until later on that eating the exact same foods every single day was not supporting my microbiome in my gut. Eating tilapia for, you know, years on end, not supporting my gut, not supporting the nutrients that I needed. Having quote unquote cheat days, I named them treat days because I have a really big problem with the cheat day industry. And, you know, validating that it was okay to eat pizza or ice cream once a month, my body can't digest those. And I'm going to be a little bit vulgar, but I would immediately have diarrhea afterwards. I'm like, oh, that's just, you know, I just have to live with that to enjoy my cheat day. But learning later that that was causing inflammation in my body. So you asked a little bit about MS, and MS is an autoimmune disease. So our protector cells, or T cells in our body, get really super confused and attack the myelin sheath, which is around your central nervous system. So the disease is actually not curable, and there's no cause. And it looks different in everybody based on where the myelin sheath is attacked. So many people have a variety of symptoms. It can range from numbness, tingling, pain, blindness, disability, lack of balance. It's called a snowflake disease because every single snowflake in the world is different, and also all of our symptoms. There's different potential correlations. So the way that it's explained is you can be on an autoimmune spectrum, and it's kind of like a checklist. So if you have a checklist, and there's a whole bunch of things, and if all of those boxes are checked off, you're more susceptible to developing an autoimmune disease. So the research that I've done since my diagnosis, I check off a lot of boxes. So it runs in my family. My father has MS. I, at the time of my diagnosis, had a vitamin D deficiency. I have other vitamin and mineral deficiencies. I was on antibiotics for the majority of my life as a child, and also in my 20s from UTI after UTI, and yeast infections as well. So my gut microbiome was just like destroyed. I had IBS symptoms for the majority of my life that I liked to ignore. And
I think a lot of people do.
Oh, right. So I have these conversations with people, and they're like, oh, I can totally eat dairy. I'm like, yeah, do you have a solid bowel movement afterwards, or is it loose? And they're like, well, loose. I'm like, well, then you can't eat dairy.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know, you brought up when you said something earlier, you said, well, this is kind of vulgar, but you know, and I actually interviewed, I'm trying to think, sometimes my short-term memory is so bad. I did a podcast interview yesterday, and a lot of what we're talking about, we'd have a lot of folks on the show talking about, Gigi Dubois, but now her last name is Ashworth. Gigi eats celebrities, and she has, I think, IBS, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease. I mean, you name it, she's got it. And it's becoming more and more common, but the more I think, because I used to be one of those girls that was like, oh, I don't want to talk about bathroom issues. Don't talk about it. I can't hear it. Blah, 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 blah. And you have to learn to, I mean, I don't enjoy saying, oh my God, you know, I have, you know, that made me have diarrhea. Nobody wants to talk about that. But the more you can just, let's just make it more comfortable. The fact that this is just the way that your body is giving you a message. You should be regular. The more people I talk to, that are in, you know, they can look really fit on the outside, but then I'll discover like they go to the bathroom, they have a bowel movement once a week, or major constipation, or major diarrhea, or major bloating. I dealt with major bloating all the time. And just like you said, either you were saying this yourself, or people that you work with will discount it. They're like, it's no big deal. I just am bloated if I eat this, but you just deal with it, or you pop a pill. That is not something we should be ignoring. So I'm sorry that I'm interrupting you, but for everybody listening, please start to get comfortable talking about this. Pay attention to how your body reacts, you know, both in the bathroom, but also with other symptoms, migraines, skin conditions, bloating, gas. Those are signs that things are not okay. We should not be dealing with that on a regular basis. So please continue. And again, just for everybody listening, kind of get over talking about these issues. It's a bodily function. And I got news for you. We all have it, right?
Yeah. I just like warning people that I'm about to talk about poop. But yeah, no, and it's true. And that's, we were kind of chatting before we press record, that I truly believe I was gifted with MS. I call it remission. There's no like terminology in the community really around remission, but I don't have a disability, and I really don't deal with symptoms unless I overheat. So I have a lesion on my C2, C3 area of my nervous system where the myelin sheath was eaten away. And that initially showed up on my first MRI. So the disease is diagnosed through MRIs because where the quote unquote lesions are is actually inflammation. And a year later, it actually no longer showed up on my MRI because I was able to reduce the inflammation in my body. But basically, when we ignore signs and symptoms and we don't take care of ourselves proactively, because it's not a pain point in our life. So I believe I was gifted with this disease so that I could figure out how to take better care of myself and then talk about it really, really loudly as much as possible, just to make people think. is that soft bowel movement potentially because I'm eating something that's inflammatory? I really, really like cheese, but could it lead to an autoimmune diagnosis in the future? And really, if I remove it and find amazing alternatives that taste really good, I'm going to do such a better service for my body before it's a pain point. It's a really hard platform to be on. I'm not going to lie. Nobody wants to solve a pain point that's not there.
Right.
But I love talking about just feeling better in your body. So that's kind of where I'm trying to serve people is, you know, that headache that you're getting once a month, maybe that's not serving you very well. How do we, you know, get better quality of sleep? How do we get better quality of foods inside you? Are you drinking enough water? Like back to basics to solve those little pain points before they become massive pain points.
And that's so true, what you said. You know, you're talking about headaches, and we've had so many guests on the show that bring up, you know, here's like the old version of me and things that I ignored and now things that I'm aware of. So, you know, two points to just jump off of what Robin said is, you know, again, I've shared with several different interviews and to several different shows that I used to be that girl. I would eat anything. I was not aware that I had a lactose sensitivity until much later in life when I started paying attention. And I was also somebody like you, Robin. I was on antibiotics. I started to see a dermatologist for acne when I was in high school. So I started, and I was on two rounds of Accutane. I would get so stressed about my skin condition, I would make it worse. And then they put me on two rounds of Accutane. I believe that that's like outlawed now. I don't even think they're allowed to prescribe it anymore. It's such an awful drug. But I was then just always on antibiotics. And then I went on the birth control pill at age 19. And I remember the way that they sold it to me. You know, my friend and I went to Planned Parenthood and they're like, this is so awesome. You'll never have your period on the weekend. So yay. And you'll probably only have your period for a day and a half. And I'm like, sweet, put me on Ortho Novo 777. And I was on that for 22 years. And then later I was put on Lilestrin Fay. I mean, the damage that the antibiotics and the birth control did to me for years, it can't be underestimated, but I ignored it. I didn't pay attention to the side effects. I didn't pay attention to the food I was eating and to the fact that I was always bloated, always having bathroom issues, always, you know, if I was dating a guy, I would never want to go to the bathroom at his house. And I just dealt with it. I didn't think, well, this is not normal. And later in life, you know, you mentioned headaches, you mentioned, you know, whether you're regular or dealing with constipation or diarrhea or anything in between. And so many people, I think particularly in the United States and Canada, there's this work environment where we work all the time. And I think people tend to, we've almost like glamorized, oh, I never sleep, right? And oh, I work all the time and I'm burning the candle at both ends. And I fell for it too when I founded FitFluential. I'm like, oh, I'm running a startup. I work all the time. I have no life. And people are used to talking about that. And it's almost like it's cool to say, I never sleep. I have headaches all the time. I just take this. I have 7 espressos, 8 Red Bulls. People aren't paying attention to what they're putting in their bodies and they're ignoring so many symptoms. Do you run into that a lot, Robin, that, you know, you're dealing with clients that you work with or people that you're advising that come to you and they're dealing with hives, skin condition, and, you know, acne, they're dealing with headaches, they're dealing with stomach aches, bowel problems, and they just think it's no big deal?
Well, what I've discovered is, so I started a podcast in 2016 called the Alpha Female Podcast. That's been my personal brand forever. I, you know, had it on the blog. And someone was like, why do you call yourself an alpha female? And I was like, let me make a community around it. And I would reach out to ambitious women. So I hadn't really defined what an alpha female is, and the definition has evolved over the past 2 years, but it's really a state of mind of choosing ambition and taking care of yourself at the same time. So when you focus on being happy and healthy, choose your priorities and stick to them, you can create beautiful work-life harmony. So if I have a guest come on the show, and they say the words work-life balance, I actually kind of get mad, and my listeners probably think it's funny by this point because I'm like, no. Our show is about work-life harmony. It's about choosing your priorities, but taking care of yourself at the same time. So if your priority is to launch a business, cool, but what are your healthy habits daily that are going to support your body? And that's really important to me because I had a few guests come on the show and they're like, oh, I work for 6 months and then I'll take a break at the end. And I'm like, you're gonna run yourself into the ground. And getting sick at the end of the 6 months is your body telling you that that's not okay. And so I get really kind of aggravated now when that type of guest tries to come on the show. I'm like, sorry, I don't resonate with you. This isn't the message that I want to put out into the world.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
What an awesome thing you just said. I just wrote that down, work-life harmony. And I'll tell you that in the past, I think we kind of chatted a little bit about this before we started recording, but, and I use myself as an example, I'm fine, only because I have come out the other side and I am transformed from one of the worst years and a half of my life. And I'm transforming, you know, it's a continual, this is a, like a, something that's never going to stop is this, I always want to become better in every area of my life. But when you say work-life harmony, I was that person. I mean, I founded Fitfluential in 2011 and I embraced the workaholic lifestyle. I was not proactive about my health. In fact, I think it was, I don't know if it was not last year, but right the year before, I was so run down. I started the beginning of the year and I was getting ear infections. And most people go, you know, an adult getting ear infections. And typical me, I was that person. I was like, I just let it continue until I would end up having my neighbor take me to, you know, the emergency room or to urgent care. I ended up, I had a recurring ear infection in my left ear. And actually it went into my right ear, but from January of 2016 to May, and I ended up having to see an ENT because I had a hole in my eardrum. And I ended up with such intense pain. And then I got sick on top of that, like fever, chills, awful. And I kept working through all of this. And you know what? At the end of the day, like, did I accomplish anything? Do I have anybody in the Fitfluential network that's like, oh, Kelly, I'm so glad you did that. That's awesome. No one noticed. I didn't really accomplish anything more than I did in any prior years. So you have to be able to look at it and go, I'm not serving anybody by, like you said, running yourself into the ground. And I did, I literally ran myself into the ground. And then when you're forced to stop, you're either going to have that aha moment and change things, or you're going to keep doing it. And then things can get worse. But I love your work-life harmony because I think balance is ridiculous. And the more that I am focusing, I swear to you, this is, I'm not making this up. Just this morning, before you and I got on this call, I was telling my assistant, you know, now that I'm getting back to my weekly massages for myself and seeing my chiropractor and my therapist who's helping me, you know, grow on that level, and my business coach, and making all of these different areas a priority, I am so much better at my work because I'm refreshed. I'm better at training when I don't overtrain, when I give myself, like yesterday, Wednesdays are my total day off. And I had a peanut butter sandwich and it was awesome. And I don't care. It works. Like I'm like not beating myself up about food anymore. But yeah, if you don't have harmony and you don't choose to put yourself first and take care of yourself, you will never achieve quote unquote balance. So I love that. I think that I'm going to use that. I will always give you
good
for it, but that awesome. is, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing?
Of course.
When I was talking about this like checklist of things that I had checked off that meant I was on the autoimmune spectrum, I hadn't even thought about the emotional side. And we started talking about stress and overachievement. Mm-hmm. So a book that I recommend to everyone is called When the Body Says No by Gabor Mate. And he is a physician up in Canada. But he basically quantifiably and qualitatively grouped his patients together and wrote chapters about each ailment. So he was seeing, after a certain amount of quantity and taking a look at those types of patients, that many of his patients had similar traits in each of like the disease buckets, I guess you could say. So I'll just specifically talk about the MS one, but I read the MS chapter and every single MS patient that he was seeing was an overachiever, an A-type personality, and had been in a traumatic toxic relationship. And wow. I called off my wedding in 2012 and left that relationship and didn't properly process the emotional trauma. And so when I took a look at that book, I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So when people talk about dealing with stress and taking care of themselves from an emotional standpoint, not being like obsessed in their work, it has long-term ramifications. But again, we don't have that map to say, you know, if we didn't properly cry after leaving a relationship, are we going to develop a disease? I'm not trying to scare people, but that book was really enlightening to be like, oh, wow, okay, let me proactively now deal with all of these things. Stop being an overachiever in the office. Stop being stressed, learn how to process my emotions along with the eating and the supplements. So I believe the physical and emotional health of taking care of ourselves is so combined.
That was an incredibly articulate explanation of something that is so true. And I was taking more notes and I'm like, we need to explore this topic more because I agree. I think that certainly for me, going to see a therapist every single week has helped me. And somebody who's outside of my life, you know, somebody that doesn't know my company, my family, it's helped me. I think one of my problems was I had allowed fear to guide me, and I would develop a just completely inordinate proportion, if that's the right word, of fear towards things in my life, towards things in work, towards things in my personal life, and as such, I would make these situations bigger than they were, and the amount of anxiety that I was doling out to myself on a daily basis was ridiculous. And now that I'm better, I've just become, and I'm, in fact, I'm reading a really great book about acceptance, and it takes a deep dive. I'm hoping to get the author on the show, but a lot of that is, it's just the ability to process emotions and how understanding the effect that your better state of mind, when you're more calm, when you have more joy in your life, when you're happy because you're making choices and being less reactive to life, it's life-changing. I was about to say game-changing, but people, this is a big part of what, and in fact, several people in my life, several people that work for me, my assistant said it, Lauren, who's going to be on the show, who's worked with FitFluential for years, she was like, I can see a change in you, in your Instagram stories. There's so much happiness in you and you're more calm. You're less, you know, like, and I didn't even ask people. They just started to say like, you just seem different. You sound different. I'm sure if we maybe even went back and listened to the podcast episodes before, I probably sounded a lot more uptight and worried and like, oh my God, I've got to, you know, get this off the show. I've got to move on to my next appointment. Life can be so much better when you have a proactive approach, like Robin mentioned, proactive health. And health encompasses everything from your emotions to what you eat to what you do in the gym. And I guess probably, first of all, Robin, I definitely want to have you back on the show because I think that there's a lot here we can pick up on. So mm-hmm. I do want to, you know, publicly invite you back on the show. I think this proactive health, you know, both for people that might be dealing with an MS diagnosis, but just in general, you know, understanding inflammation, understanding the importance of gut health, understanding what proactive health means and work-life harmony. I would sincerely love to have you back on the show, but we are sadly at the end, and you know I was going to go over, I went over our time, but Let's wrap up with this, Robin. First of all, I'd like you to tell people where they can find you and your podcast online. We, of course, will link that up in the show notes. But what, maybe give us like three tips for people that want to start being more proactive. This is like a big topic, I know. What would be your three tips to people that are listening that go, I've got to be more proactive about my health? Like, and it can be in one area. Maybe it's gut health. Maybe it's you know, food. What would you say your top three tips that people can start incorporating today to be more proactive about their health?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it would be number one, build a healthcare team. And you are going to be your main healthcare advocate. So your family doctor is not going to do that for you. But you are going to build your healthcare team of whatever you need. So whether it's a naturopath, an acupuncturist, a physiotherapist, a psychotherapist, you build a team of people around you that serves each individual need within your health. Number two, you start with basics. So once you feel better in your body, then you can tackle other things. So it's like simplifying your self-care practice to, are you getting enough water? Are you eating healthy for your body? And are you getting quality sleep? And then number three is figure out how to create a beautiful self-care routine. And that includes your morning and your evening. When you bookend your day with a really great routine, then you start off the day properly and you also de-stress really nicely if you've built up stress throughout the day.
That's
and
awesome.
I can be found on robinbaldwin.com. The podcast is linked up in there, but it's on all podcast apps like iTunes or Stitcher Radio or even on Spotify, and all my social media platforms are on the website.
We will link this up in the show notes, of course, at fitfluentialradio.com, but Robin's name is spelled with a Y. Just FYI, if you're listening to this. So Robin, this was awesome. I feel like I'm in college because I took so many notes about things we can pick up on in the next episode. For everybody listening, we will definitely get Robin back on the show. I encourage you to tune into her Alpha Female podcast. It's wonderful. I listened back when I still remember when I saw you doing like the first episodes on your Insta story. I think it was your Insta story or maybe an Instagram post. So I still vividly remember that, but go check out her podcast. And if you have questions specifically that you would like Robin and I to cover when we have her back on the show, please email those questions to podcast@fitfluential.com. And of course, you can use that same email if you have general questions you would like us to cover in future shows as well. For now, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. I encourage you to really take this concept Robin shared today of work-life harmony to heart and start focusing on becoming your own health advocate, because it can change your life forever. We will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.